Well, good morning again. I'm going to pick up and continue our series on fasting today. And as we do that, just want to do a little bit of a review. It's been a couple of weeks since we've broke from this series before Christmas, and I just want to refresh us a little bit on that. You know, fasting is a determined effort to make a space for God in our lives, in our busy lives. Fasting is a way of kind of stepping into the heart of God and His passion for humanity. And it's a way of emptying ourselves, not just of food, but of the things of the world that distract us from Him. And that's why one of the reasons it's so important. Some of the other things that we've talked about recently is that fasting, if it means something to you, then it'll mean something to God. And in order for it to really mean something, we need to combine fasting with prayer and with God's Word. When we don't do that, we're just dieting. We're just dieting. And see, there's a whole lot more to fasting than just going without food or going without a particular thing. And so, fasting is just as important. If we look into the Bible and the reality of it, it's just as important as giving and praying. In Matthew 17, Jesus talked about praying. He says, when you give and when you pray and when you fast. And so that's a real clear indication that it should be a normal part of our faith, of the Christian life. And so today, I want us to look at fasting as renewing, refreshing, and rewarding. You know, routine. Routine is doing something over and over without changing or varying until you kind of just begin to do it without thought. And you know, if we aren't careful, life can get pretty routine. It can get us into a rut. The same old, same old. Church can get into a rut of rituals. And then our relationship with the Lord can suffer the same thing if we don't stay sharp and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You see, our praise and our worship, our offerings, our prayers, and yes, even preaching can unknowingly become empty, heartless routines to God. Now, I know everyone likes comfortable. Would you agree? Everybody likes comfortable. We like to be comfortable. We like for things to be comfortable around us. But you know, comfortable is a very dangerous place. It's a very dangerous place to be. And that's when we can get into a rut, when we get too comfortable. You may, as a believer, pray. You may read the Bible, go to church week after week, and still not be close to your first love, Jesus. Not that you don't love God every day, but everyday life can just kind of get you to the point where there's nothing fresh in your life. There's no enthusiasm. There's no sensitivity to His Spirit. And that becomes what's called just plain old religion. Religion, and religion is controlled by a religious spirit. Think about it. If you ate the same meal for dinner every night, let's say you had supper of ham every week, every day. Ham every night. How long would it take before you'd get tired of ham? Karen and I were having dinner Christmas evening with some friends, and they had their mother there from the nursing home, and she said, "I'm so tired of ham. They have ham there every night at that place," and you know, it's what it would be like if you just had ham every night. You'd get tired of it. You wouldn't even want to show up for supper, would you? Well, you know, imagine coming here week after week. Coming here, and I'll just give you a little warning. Toes are probably going to be stepped on a little bit this morning, but that's good too. That's healthy. But just imagine if you come here, you know, week after week, you go through the same motions, you come in here, you come with the same approach, the same attitude, and the same effort. Sitting in the same chair every week. Ouch. You know, how long would it be? I mean, what do you think? Can you just kind of hear God looking down saying, same old stuff again. I know what's happening there at Heart Cry. I know what's going to happen there. I know what everybody's going to do. And I even know where they're going to sit. You see, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, according to the Bible. That's a whole lot of cattle on a whole lot of hills. And he doesn't need our routine, emotionless, heartless, religious activities. He doesn't need that. He doesn't want our leftovers. How many of you had any leftovers the last few weeks? See, God doesn't want our leftovers. He wants our best. He wants our best. God is only moved by worship that comes from the heart. That's what moves God. Not sitting here going through the motions. Well, I'm here, God. I made it. I showed up. That's not what he desires. And the truth is, that's not what he deserves. God is the God of the universe, our creator. And to throw him crumbs of our faith, crumbs of our worship, crumbs of our effort in relating to him, that's not what he's looking for. That's not what he deserves. You see, what he does is he doesn't look at the outward things. He doesn't just scan around and say, well, that's a nice building and they take care of it and it's clean and they do a nice job. What he does is he opens the blinds and he looks inside. He opens the blinds and he looks inside. He says, I'm not impressed with window dressing. I want to see what's inside. And see, he looks at us individually and he says, I'm not impressed with window dressing. I want to see what's inside. That's what he looks at. He does this with the church, and he does it with individuals, because that's who the church is. And so, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, the first thing I want you to write this morning is, fasting is a means of renewing yourself spiritually. It's a means of renewing yourself spiritually. Fasting breaks the routine. It breaks the routine of the world. Fasting is worship by offering our body as a living sacrifice to God. Fasting humbles us. It reminds us of our dependency on God, and it makes the roots of our relationship with Jesus go deeper. You know, I was... several years ago, we did some landscaping and we resodded some of the yard. And I was talking to somebody about that, and they said, you know, you don't want to overwater that sod. You want to make it, because, you know, if you water something too much, the roots won't go down deep. The roots will just stay shallow and closer to the surface. But if you let it get a little dry and then you water it, those roots will go down and they'll get a little dry. They start reaching for water. It's the same thing with orange trees or any other thing, a tree, bushes. You see, fasting causes our roots of our relationship with God, because we're denying ourselves and seeking him, it causes those roots to get a little deeper with him. It breaks us out of the routine. See, God wants us to move in a God wants to move in a powerful way in everybody's life here. He wants to move in a powerful way, not just ho-hum. You know, he desires that we speak to him just like we speak to one another, our friends. Well, not that ugly. He'd rather us speak nice to him. Y'all didn't get that. Think about it. When you get home, you'll get it. God wants us to speak to him just like we speak to each other. Taylor, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good, honey. Thank you for asking. See, God wants us to talk to him just like that. Just like that. And fasting draws us into that quiet place of just him and us. Just him and us. See, there's dimensions. He wants to move in our lives in a powerful way. And there's dimensions of God that will never be revealed to the casual, disinterested worshiper. And you say, well, that's an oxymoron. Well, it may be, but it's a fact. Religious activity doesn't break down any walls. But, you know, when you do things that break out of the ordinary and you really worship God, you worship him in freedom and in spirit and in truth, you'll begin to see facets of God that you've never seen before, that you never knew existed. David said in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. You see, when you worship, you magnify God. So what does God see when you come to church? What does he say when he looks down on you? When he looks down on me? I have to ask myself that too. Does he just look down and say, well, just more religion today? I hope not. I hope not. And that's why fasting is so important, because it guards us against getting in that kind of a rut. You see, if you're in a rut where your worship is just not cutting it, or you haven't heard from God, or you haven't heard God speak in a long time, or maybe your circumstances seem insurmountable, then just stop and fast. Stop and fast. Begin to satisfy God with your sacrificial worship. Begin to stir a spiritual hunger inside of yourself. We talked previously, a few weeks back, how God rewards or responds to giving and praying and fasting. You know, Jesus did much more praying and fasting in private than he did in public. And out of that private devotion, the Bible tells of great public demonstrations of God's power that were poured out in healing, raising the dead, and more and more and more things. That's why fasting, either corporately or individually, is a private discipline. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor, if you say corporately? Well, a corporate fast is when a group of people are fasting together at the same time. But it's still a private thing between you and God. You're seeking God individual. I mean, I can seek God on Taylor's behalf, but it's not the same as her seeking him, herself. And so, whether it's corporate or individually, it's a private discipline. You see, what's done in private devotion to God is rewarded publicly by God. It's biblical. Corporately or individually, fasting is a personal, private discipline. It's to be a sacrifice born out of expectancy, not manipulation. Oh, God, I need this, so I'm going to fast so you'll bring that $100 I need. No. But it's seeking him with expectancy, expecting him to show up. You know, when you look in the Bible, the life of Job, everybody, if you know the story of Job, he was a just off the chart godly man. And Satan says to God, well, how about him? God says, what about him? And he said, well, you know, of course he's got it all going. He's wealthy. He's got this great family. He's got everything you can imagine, because you got your protection around him. But what if you let that down? And God said, okay, you can do anything but kill him. And, you know, Job had lost everything. His family, his kids, his livestock, he lost everything, his crops. He was covered with boils. He was miserable. And we think of Job and we think, oh, what that poor soul. But when, you know, when you look at the life of Job, and he lost everything, even through all those things, he prayed. He remained faithful to God, saying this: "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessity of food." So he fasted in the midst of all that. And God, you know what God did? God restored everything that he lost. Plus. Why? Because Job prayed with expectancy. He didn't walk in what he was seeing. He didn't walk in the death of his family and losing all his resources and his valuables. He didn't look at that. That's not what he walked in, what he could see. He walked in what he knew in his faith. Joel, if you will, turn to Joel chapter 2. It's just toward the end of the Old Testament. If you have Matthew, if you go back to the left just a little bit. Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, the people were in such a famine that they couldn't even bring an offering. And so through the prophet Joel, God called them to a solemn assembly. And I'm just going to read part of that to you today. Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Give me your heart, not your window dressing." He was saying, be broken before me. "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." You see, they were in a bad famine. "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast." In other words, set yourselves apart. "Call a sacred assembly," a corporate assembly. "Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest who ministers to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?" In other words, they were beckoning him, God, show yourself. God, show up. We need you. You see, the Lord responded in an amazing way there as you continue to read on. Now, that doesn't mean if you fast from Cokes or sweet tea for a day, all of a sudden you're going to have an abundance. But if you'll begin to honor God with giving and praying and fasting, I believe you'll see for yourself things will begin to happen that can only be attributed to God. Last time I talked about the health benefit of fasting, of how it cleanses our bodies physically, giving your organs time to rest. But even more than that, fasting can do a spiritual cleanse, a spiritual cleansing in us. You see, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There's a spirit behind homosexuality. There's a spirit behind lust. There's a spirit behind pornography and a spirit behind addictions of all sorts. Fasting can break strongholds of these demonic spirits that use and abuse people. So why is it so difficult? Why does the body of Christ have such a hard time with the discipline of fasting? Well, I talked about it earlier. We all owned up to it. We like comfortable, don't we? You see, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve was there, a lack of control over the flesh let sin's temptation rule. When Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness before starting his public ministry, he was sanctifying himself, setting himself apart for a purpose and breaking the power of temptation. And so if Jesus needed to fast, how much bigger is our need to fast? Fasting is not easy, but I believe if we'll will look at the promises of God in the Bible, I believe that we'll be helped with this thing called fasting. Turn over toward the back of your Bible to Hebrews, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest. He's speaking of Jesus. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. To help in the time of need. These are promises that will help us to have the discipline necessary to see breakthroughs in our lives. Fasting is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Spiritual purposes. Doing without food for a particular or a particular food for a period of time causes us to draw back from the normal day-to-day routine. You see, the sacrifice of fasting, seeking God and studying His Word, causes the normal daily activity to kind of fade back to the background instead of dominating our life on a daily basis. So here's some important facts about fasting I want to give you this morning as we go through this. First thing about fasting is you don't fast to obtain merit from God or to get rid of sin. You don't fast to obtain merit from God or to get rid of sin. Well, Pastor, you just said you break those bondages. Yes, but I want you to hear this. One thing cleanses sin from our life. One thing, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that cleanses sin from our life. But fasting brings to the surface places in our lives that we're compromising, and it will make you more aware of sin in your life so that you can repent and move away from it. The next thing is fasting is not a Christian diet. Fasting is not a Christian diet. Just doing without food is starving yourself. Do I get an amen on that?
Yes.
I mean, it's okay to be real. I know this is not the most popular subject, but you know, just doing without food is starving yourself, right? See, when you fast, pray and focus on God, focus on His Word, then it becomes a spiritual thing rather than just a physical thing. The next thing is fasting is not something you do to show people how spiritual you are, how pious you can be. You don't fast so others will notice it, but it's an opportunity for you to focus on others' needs. Focus on someone besides yourself. Focus on God and maybe others' needs. See, one person fasting is powerful, but when a group of people begin to fast, the power of God is multiplied in people. If you believe Christians are not supposed to fast, and there are people that go to church that don't think you're supposed to fast necessarily, you know, that's just deception. Fasting, according to the Bible, is a normal part of the faith.
Amen.
In Matthew 6, Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And then He followed that up in the scriptures in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Can we pop that next scripture up, Robbie? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all those things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All those needs, not wants, needs will be added. See, we can always find a reason not to fast. It's not a matter of making the decision to, you know, it's just a matter of making the decision to do it. And you'll see other things take care of themselves. You know, if you determine to set apart the first days of the year to fast, I believe that you'll set the direction for the rest of your year. I really believe that. You know, when we give God the first part of our day, it sets the tone for the day. Do you agree? Okay, there's a few of you. That means probably, I'm assuming a few of you, give God the first part of your day. We all ought to, all of us, be giving God some portion of the first part of our day, because it will set the tone for the day. And in the same way, starting the year out with a focused fast will set the tone for the entire year through extended fasting. I want you to watch this video clip. It's very realistic, and it's probably right where a lot of us are at times. Watch this. There's so many things that become routine in our lives. Are you ready to take the focus off of you? So many things become routine. They become such habits. We don't even realize how they affect our relationship with Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily bad things. They just tend to steal time. They steal time from God. You see, fasting moves it from being all about me to focusing on the Lord. And yes, others' needs or situations. Barbara, would you come up for just a minute? I want her to share something that she shared with me this morning. She was talking about the importance of prayer and intercession, and it really connects with this well. Just share briefly what you shared with me.
Thank you. This card is very important. It has answered prayers for my family before. But this was a recent time. A friend called, a dear friend from Orlando. She was crying, and she said her daughter, her precious daughter, Melissa, and her grandson were coming to see her because they were in a very abusive home. And her husband was very abusive, not only to her, her precious daughter, but to their son, who was 12 years old. And the boy was so depressed, he wouldn't even go to school. He just sat on the couch all the time. And she says, I don't know what to do, but she's coming to see me. And I said, we can pray. That's what we can do. And my church is wonderful about praying. So when I came to church that Sunday, I filled out this card. And it wasn't, but a couple of days later, I got a call from my friend from Orlando. She says, you'll never believe what happened. That husband that was so abusive met them at the plane and was so happy to see them, wanted to go get into discussion with my daughter about their problems. But more than that, he was so happy to see his son, and he has spent time with his son and wanting to spend more time in getting to know his son. And this was a real miracle. Thank you, church, for praying for them.
Thank you. Prayer works. Prayer and fasting works even more. Do you, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to get closer to the God who created you? Even if that means making some small sacrifices to see it happen. Do you want to get closer to the God who created you, even if it means making some small sacrifices to see that happen? You know, are you ready to take the focus off you? Fasting will help you do that. And so we've already been publishing it, but today I'm just officially announcing that I'm calling a solemn assembly of Heart Cry again at the beginning of this year, a corporate fast beginning January 12th and ending on February 1st. And so I hope that, in fact, I challenge you and I encourage you to join with your church family and friends in this beginning of the year focus on God, on the Heavenly Father, and on the things of God for 21 days. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Begin now to pray and ask God what He wants you to do as your part. I'm not going to assign your part to you. I'm teaching you about fasting. I'm giving you the biblical basis and the word on fasting. But I want you to seek God. Next week, I'm going to provide you with a packet that will explain some basic things about fasting and the different types of fast. It'll list different biblical fasts along with scriptures and some things to focus on for these 21 days. Our country needs revival. Our world needs revival. Our church needs revival. We need revival in our individual lives as well as the church body as a whole. And, you know, we don't have time to waste on religion. If we look at our world and what's going on in our world today, we don't have time to waste on religion and just religious activity. The days are getting shorter, and God's calling the church to set itself apart for what's ahead. Believe it or not, you believe it or not, I believe it. I believe I know it. Christ is coming back. And He's coming back for a powerful, effective, overcoming, world-changing church. And the question is, will we be a part of that church that He's coming back for? The time's now. The time is now. So let's be the church to each other and to the world that we live in. You see, with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen? With God, all things are possible. And the only limits are the limits that we put on Him ourselves. You may not be excited about this today, but I believe if you begin to pray now, God will begin to build an excitement in you. And I can tell you, I'm excited. Not about fasting. I'm not excited about fasting. But I'm excited about what I believe God's going to do in this church, Amen. His church, and in individuals' lives, in us. As we begin to apply this principle of prayer and fasting to our lives, let's pray together. I don't know where you are with the Lord today. Don't know where your faiths are. I don't know if you even have faith in God today. But I can tell you, God is real. I could stand here and share hours of experiences, of firsthand experiences of how I know God is real. But that's something that you have to come to in your spirit, in your heart. God is always drawing us to Him. And the way we come to God is through a relationship with Christ, putting your faith in Christ. And if you've never done that, I just encourage you today to put your faith in Christ. To believe. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart, Jesus is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And I don't mean believe in your head, because everyone in their head pretty much knows there's a God. But I'm not talking about knowing there's a God. I'm talking about knowing God. The devil knows there's a God, but he doesn't have a personal relationship. Would you consider that this morning? I encourage you to do that. We never know how much time we have left. I did a pretty large funeral here yesterday, and it was a good one. It was a good time, because the person that had died had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and his life had been changed. The psalmist wrote, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, Lord, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" If you'll seek the Lord, he will manifest himself to you. So the invitation today is this: if you need Christ in your life, come. I'll be happy, more than happy, to pray with you. If you want to dedicate yourself to this fast, you want to begin now praying for this fast or committing to this fast, or if there's another prayer you need, if you need healing, you need us to pray for healing, whatever it may be, the altar's open. We're here. This is your time with God right now. This is God's time. It seems there's an unusual amount of attacks on the lungs lately, on people's lungs, especially here. So would you pray as you're praying today? Would you pray for anyone that has any kind of lung ailment? Ask the Lord to touch those lungs. Ask the Lord to breathe life and healing into lungs today in this place. Lord, we believe you. You're a supernatural God. You're the God who created us. You're the God who heals. So, Father, we pray for healing in this place today in lungs. We pray those with lung ailments would just breathe in your spirit right now, your healing touch. And, God, that your breath would fall on them. You would breathe your breath into those lungs and bring healing and wholeness and restoration in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the testimony of restoring relationships this morning through prayer. Through prayer of your people, through faith. God, when Jesus, the disciples asked, why couldn't we heal them? Jesus responded, these things only go out with prayer and fasting. So God, we commit to you today, this 21-day corporate fast beginning in January. We commit ourselves to you, and as individuals and as a church body. God, begin to speak to our hearts now. Whether it be food, a particular drink, a particular vice, whatever it may be, God, speak to our hearts and show us what what you want each one of us to do, to give up and to fast and to pray for 21 days. God, this is your time. We want to seek you. We seek you for restoration of relationships, healing in emotions and minds, healing in bodies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. And God, as we bring you our tithes and our offerings today, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for being our provider. Thank you that we can trust you in all ways, in all circumstances, for all things concerning our needs. And so by faith, Father, in obedience to your word, we bring these before you. And we say thank you for allowing us to worship you in this way. In the strong name of Jesus, again we pray. Amen. If you made any kind of decision today, if you'd write it on the back of your care card so we can just pray over that with you. We want to encourage you and pray for you. Pray for those needs. If you're watching by internet, you made any kind of decision, contact us at our website through our webmail and let us know how we can pray for you. Ushers, if you'll come now and receive tithes and the offerings.